Good evening. It is Friday. It's 8 p.m. somewhere. So it must be it's time for warm beer and the cheap seats. Good evening, everybody. I'm Casey. I'm starting it solo. I got everyone else that's going to be coming in here in a little bit. We got Big Mike is in the foothills of Tennessee. So he's going to be coming in pretty soon. But we got an action-packed show, and you know, it's Friday night, and I'm just excited. And I hope you're excited to be here as well, sharing this. So if you're listening live, I want to say thank you for listening live, and you know, feel free to message on the message board. You know, we like the input and the interaction. So with that said, you can always, if you're downloading this, and share it with the friend to download, let them know that we're here. We're here for your pleasure. You go to warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. We've been changing the website a little bit. It's going to have a little bit more ability for you to interact with us and vice versa. So we hope you enjoy it. So we have a lot going on. You know, in baseball, my beloved Rays are playing a little better, but I got to say they're out in doing that West Coast swing, as you know, you're going to have to do as an East Coast team, go out there. And they played pretty well, but I got to say that Anaheim Angels, that Shohei Ohtani is an amazing ball player. I mean, he hit a ball last night, a country mile. That guy, I don't know how you pitch that guy. He just, if he gets a bat on it, I mean, it's gone. And then he goes out and pitches too. So what an amazing talent, you know. So if you haven't had an opportunity to watch Angels baseball and you're just a baseball fan, definitely tune in. You know, they have this guy called Mike Trout too. It's not too shabby. Speaking of the Angels, though, had designated Pujols for assignment. In other words, they are releasing him. His time with the Angels are done. Albert, I guess, put out a word just saying that he would like to continue playing. However, you know, this could be the beginning of the end and, you know, perhaps retirement. And, you know, a guy that was in St. Louis, probably the most feared right-hand hitter ever, definitely in his generation, didn't have the production in Anaheim. And, you know, there are stories that are coming out that he perhaps, maybe he was a little older than he said, you know, so, and that was a thing that happened quite a bit, you know, from the Caribbean nations. So, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, Albert Pujols, you know, it's an end of a generation, you know, and you got the new stars, you know, and one day though, you know, the Mike Trouts and all these other guys, they're going to be the Pujols. They're going to be the old guys. And, you know, they're kind of getting there. You know, you think that Bryce Harper and you know, Trout, they've been in the league now 10 years at least. So, you know, it's, you know, just time marches on, but that's such as baseball. And you got the hockey season kind of winding down. And I got someone that I'm going to bring into the show to kind of talk some hockey. You know, I think he's going to be available this week, and that's fine. But the regular season's come to an end, and, you know, it should be interesting. I can't say I've really followed many of the Canadian teams and, you know, where I'm at. They haven't been, honestly, on TV too much unless NBC Sports Network had aired them. So I don't know if any of the Canadian teams are really worth their weight in salt, though I got to say the Lightning have the target on their back. They have the Stanley Cup championship, and they're going to have to battle, and their division's been real tough. Carolina Hurricanes have been a monster of a team this year. And so have the Florida Panthers. So, you know, hats off to the old Panthers of South Florida. And, you know, they put together a good team this year. And I felt like it was a sign to come when they signed Chicago's Quenneville as the new head coach. I knew that was going to be a problem that we were going to have to deal with. And we're probably going to have to deal with it in the first round. So they play them actually tonight. They're going to play them tonight. However, I have wrestling in the background, but I'll flip back and forth. So the hockey playoffs are going to be starting next week, you know, in a little different format, you know, coming post-COVID, you know, lockdown and whatnot. But good luck to the Lightning. You know, go Bolts, and remember, be the Thunder.
Hey, I'll be the Thunder.
Ah, there we go. Live from the foothills of Tennessee. Big Mike, what's going on, bud?
Hey, everybody. What's up, Casey?
You caught me at a perfect time. I just like segued out of talking a little, little sports, you know, time that you would have nodded off anyway. So this is perfect.
I have perfect time sometimes.
Yes, sir. How did you get up there? Did you hitchhike?
No, I didn't hitchhike. I flapped my arm. I flew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hitchhiking, I learned, is unsafe. It's unsafe.
It's not like it was on TV like 30 years ago where it was, hey, little Johnny, do you need a ride into town? I sure do, mister. It doesn't work like that anymore.
That's how Jim Morrison got from Tallahassee, because he went to Florida State, by the way.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And he hitchhiked from Tallahassee to Los Angeles. And then, you know, in that time, he's like, I'll just go to UCLA, and then you just walk on the campus, and I guess you're going to UCLA, because that's how it was. I think to go to UCLA now, you wait a year. Your mega-rich parents pay someone to pretend that you're on a rowing team or something, and you're paying probably 40 grand a year.
Kind of like Lori Loughlin did.
Oh, Aunt Becky.
She was hot, man. She's still hot. Even though she's a criminal, she's like one of the hottest criminals ever.
Sweet Melissa is
going to
agree with you on that.
Hi, Sweet Melissa.
Hi. Hey. I can't keep that in. If I was going to have to say a girl was hot, it would be her.
Do you think she's in lockup going, hey, Orange is the New Black, am I right?
I think she is. I think she's just embracing it. There will probably be a TV movie when she gets out.
Hey, when she gets out, she's going to have two teardrop tattoos under her left eye.
She had to shank somebody.
She's like, Aunt Becky ain't no one's bitch.
Take this.
She's like, well, you know, what I was told, when you go in the lunchroom for the first time, you got to size up the biggest motherfucker and then go ahead and cold cock him. Just to let him know you're not going to be someone's bitch.
I think that happened. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee it. Even though
you know, we're the number one podcast for prison safety. People tune in to know how to get by in prison safely.
Well, you know, it's if you're like a Hollywood actor or actress, you would need that information, because prison's not really a place you ever plan to be.
I think on the Twitter, we need the hashtag #AuntBecky.
We can.
And I put it on the Twitter, which is at Cheap Seats. You can find our Twitter handle there.
It's at Beer Seats.
Shit.
I thought he was right.
Wait, let me write. It is at Beer Seats.
Beer Seats. That's why you have me on this show. This is the only reason I'm on this show, is to make sure our Twitter handle our Twitter handle is correct. Other than that, I'm really not needed.
Big Mike, you do a lot of heavy lifting around here, so don't kid yourself.
So, hey, one thing I got to correct you. I'm not in the foothills. I'm in Western Tennessee, which is not quite as flat as where we live, but it's pretty damn flat.
Let me ask you, do you think foothills, though, I mean, is that a term we didn't get right? Like, hey, that hill's as big as my foot. Those are foothills.
I don't know. What is a foothill? Give me a definition. I think that's a Wikipedia thing.
Like, all right, for example, like, there are terms that we use and we just use, but I don't think we use them right. Like, oh, I slept like a baby.
Babies don't sleep for shit.
Yeah, I don't think people understand. Have you been around a baby? No, I think that's a polite way when you're in mixed company saying, I just shit my pants.
Well, it could be.
I'm going to correct people when they say I slept like a baby. I'm like, oh, you shit your bed.
What do you mean I shit my bed?
Do you now remember, you don't rub that stain, you pat it.
But I think you'd need to get the chunks up first if there's...
Well, you got to get the chunks, but if you rub, you're rubbing the shit in.
It's more jelly, yeah.
The shit will get in, will get in the grain of the sheets, and then it's there forever.
Yep.
See, not only are we a prison how-to show, we're also a laundry how-to show, which I'm here with my sister. I guess we were talking about...
Is she there right now or in another room?
She's in another room. I'm up in the studio. I've invited people to come on, but no takers to come on the show tonight. So,
hey, real quick, before I forget, we're going to go back to Tennessee talk.
Yes.
When you shit the bed, the memory foam never forgets. Just remember that.
Ooh, the memory foam will never be the same after that. Never.
Correct. I got a big shout out to old Sandy and the G-Man. Yay. Just people listening live.
Live listeners. Hello, live listeners. Where were we?
Well, you're in the upstairs area.
Yes, I'm in the upstairs area of the studio.
Correct.
This house. So, I confiscated a room and said, I need to put on the podcast, which we are an hour behind you. We're in the central time zone. So it is just after 7 o'clock here at the Bluff City Studios.
Ah, so how long are you out there?
I'll be here in beautiful Tennessee until Monday. Monday afternoon, I fly back to the FLA.
Hey, I got to say, and I don't want to spoil it because we got to wait for Big Ed, but I don't think I've been so excited about a rock and roll retrospective until this one.
Oh, I'm glad. I kind of pulled and we'll save the album for our fans because that's not put. Well, I don't want to break any.
Let's not blow it yet.
Because we make our albums now, correct? Based on our pre-show discussion, we may, for our fans out there, if you're paying attention, we may now have our rock and roll retrospect album posted the week of the show so that everybody can get a taste of the album as Big Ed.
Yeah. So you can be part of the experience.
Yes, it's an experience. It's an experience. All right. But I'm glad you're excited about it. I'm excited that I was able to, with this contribution of very unusual rock and roll records and that I listened to bring that to the show. And I'm excited too. I'm very excited.
I gotta say, I can't believe I've never even heard of this band, let alone the album. So I feel like, I missed out. I mean, I'll save my comments for later, but again, it's a segment I'm really, really going to be excited about.
Well, here's the good news. When we're back all together in Studio C, next week, I have four albums by this band I can listen to.
Really? Really?
Yes, I do.
Now that's exciting.
So we can explore more of this band together in Studio C.
Excellent. Well, we haven't bust out that turntable in a while anyways.
No, it needs to get warmed up for the summer. So, Casey, since I was being remote this week, I didn't get, be part of the opening of the show. What do we have this week? What's on the show? What's on our agenda?
Well, I talked a little baseball because Pujols probably looking towards retiring. I talked NHL, but I'd like to talk about Robert Smigel's new show, Let's Be Real. Mm. There's been two episodes, I think maybe three. It's been fantastic. And Robert Smigel is an old SNL alum. He might have been writing back when, even when Conan O'Brien,
when he was
a writer on the show.
Right.
So he's worked, and then he was with a lot of big heavy hitters in comedy. But man, he don't pull any punches. And I wouldn't say the show's necessarily political, but he definitely goes after everyone. No one's safe.
Now,
if you're a hypocrite, he's going to make fun of you.
So, and Smigel's show is it's
Smigel,
the whole show.
When he left SNL, he did he had the puppet dog. Oh,
is it a show?
No. He used to just go around and lampoon stuff, but you have like a little puppet. He'd go around like on his hand.
You told me about
this. Oh, the insult dog. He used to go on Conan O'Brien all the time and just say he would poop on that. I'll poop on that, you know. And people would go nuts.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Yeah, it was called Comic the Insult Dog.
Yes.
And he always had like a little cigar in his mouth.
Oh, yes. I remember. Absolutely.
Dude, there was a Grammys that he kept harassing like Eminem, and Eminem's like, I'm going to punch you, not the puppet, you. it's pretty good.
That's, you know, and that's like breaking, that's like going behind the scenes, breaking character to do that.
So. Hey, you know, so Big Ed sent this really cool video of our friend Petey.
Petey the Nocturnal Frog.
Yeah, he's a Nocturnal Frog. Yeah, so that's pretty.
Hey, you two exciting chuckleheads, don't be talking about my frog like that.
Hey, Big Ed.
Hey, Big Ed.
Yeah, he's a late night romper.
He made quite the swim to the top of the tank.
He did it for about 2 hours.
What, just back and forth, top of the tank, bottom?
Yeah, he's doing it. He's getting laps in. I guess it's his calisthenics or whatever he does.
All right. He looked very more energetic than I've ever seen, Petey. Or Matt.
Yeah, he's not worth this shit now.
Well, last night I was cleaning my tank, you know, as you got to do from time to time, and I noticed something. I had a little fry, a little baby fish, just swimming around in the weeds.
Like a new fish, like a newborn fish.
Yeah, newborn fish, and it looks to me to be like a baby guppy, and I've had this other one singular guppy for a while that's clearly female, but it's by itself. I think it performed a miracle, and I have Jesus guppy in my tank.
I was going to say, that's like a Jesus guppy. The Holy Spirit came and impregnated that guppy.
Maybe it was pregnant when we accidentally got it, even though it was
And I saw it trying to swim by the tiki hut before, and the catfish were like, no, there's no room. So, you know.
Like Forrest Gump, can't sit here.
Yeah.
Wow, Jesus guppy. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, you know.
Can't sit here.
Amazing. So, we got two great things happening in fish tank. We got swimming laps. We got Jesus guppy. You know, Jesus guppy may become another character on the show. Jesus guppy may have to join.
I think Jesus
guppy
might be
better.
Jesus guppy's gonna have to live. Dinner for somebody.
Jesus guppy needs to stay in them weeds.
Yeah.
What will eat Jesus guppy in your tank?
Everything.
I mean, technically, the tetras aren't going to go after him, but fish are instinctual. If it's going to fit in their mouth, it's going to go in their mouth.
Mm. Especially if they get hungry.
Yes.
That's why I used to keep shrimp in the tank when I lived up north. So when I was out of town traveling for work,
they'd
live off the shrimp.
Well, there you go. That way you don't come back to a tank with like two fish in it.
Right. Hey. Did any of you guys watch the WWE biography last week with Macho Man?
No, I missed it.
Oh, it was good.
I did DVR it. But that last week was a crazy week for me, leaving to come up here. So, but I did DVR it. So, I saw a note that you put in pre-show Bubba yeah. Love Sponge, did he make like multiple appearances on this?
Bubba Clem, you know, he's probably like, you know, right. I'm getting sued a lot. So let me try to be low key that people don't know who I am.
Right.
But he's in it quite a bit. And it's weird because so is Hogan. I'm like, does Hogan know that Bubba Clem's being interviewed? Because I don't think they like each other anymore.
No, they're not buddies anymore. Not after the sex tape thing. That kind
No. That was a weird scene. And, you know, the one guy I thought actually we would have seen was Bruce the Beefcake, because they all ran in the same circles and, like, lived all down the street from each other.
Right. But Bruce the Barber wasn't on.
No, he wasn't. But there were a couple wrestlers. But, I mean, Hogan, again, was interviewed quite a bit. But, obviously, they were pretty good friends. And, you know, it was pretty good. I've enjoyed them. I got to say, though, Sunday, you're going to be excited, Big Mike. It's going to be old Booker T.
Oh, I saw that. I saw Booker T because I am a fan of Booker T. I'm a fan of Macho Man, you know, come to think of it. You know, I never disliked Macho Man. Now, let me ask you this about, and this is kind of, I'm going to let you spoil this for me a little bit, but I'll still watch the documentary. For those of you who are not from the Tampa Bay area, Bubba Clem, a.k.a. Bubba the Love Sponge, had a talk radio show morning, the drive time, in the Tampa Bay area, and then he was syndicated in some other cities. And Hulk Hogan would come on his show often, but they would also clown on Macho Man. So my question is, did Bubba clown on Macho Man in this documentary, or was it more?
No, he didn't clown on him, but Hogan had mentioned it, and he said, I knew a guy in radio. So he didn't say Bubba's name, and he mentioned that he used to give Macho Man the business, if you will, the proverbial business.
The proverbial, because there was a whole skit about Macho Man, you know, being in the gym and lifting weights and shitting himself, that they kind of beat that to death.
Yeah, correct.
So,
did you say there's a video of it?
No, Hogan and Bubba Clem's wife.
Yeah. I'm sure if you went on the Google machine, you could find something about it. A whole big lawsuit. Sweet Melissa, you don't remember all that?
Yeah, he shut down Gawker.
I didn't know anything about it until Casey told me, but I never watched wrestling until not that long ago. Now I'm addicted.
So, yeah, it was a whole big thing. You know, was it planned? Was it not planned? You know, because Bubba kind of goes, hey, you guys do your thing. I'll be in the kitchen or whatever, which is kind of weird. And I don't know. What's your take on that, Casey?
Oh, that whole scene between Bubba and Hogan?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That was something that Bubba was a strange guy when it came to that stuff, man.
Kind of like pissed out on that kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, he was kind of wild lifestyle. I don't know. He, in his mind, he wanted to live like a rock and roll lifestyle, and I guess that's what he imagined a rock and roll lifestyle was, man. Now, Hogan did not know, according to Hogan never knew there was a camera there. All that was consensual, but he never knew there was a camera there.
And then allegedly,
an employee of Bubba's got a hold of the tape because he knew of it and released it.
Really?
Released it or sold it, yes. Yeah. But I'm just going to say allegedly just to, you know, and I think I know who it was, but, you know, just going to leave it at that, you know, and it's all documented now as, you know, public record if you want to look it up. I mean, Gawker was the site that published it. And Hogan sued the pants off them out of existence.
Oh, yeah, and they shut down the website.
Yeah, they. So that's curious how much Hogan actually got out of them if they had no money. So I'm not sure how that works.
I can say I've had interactions with Hulk Hogan in real life, and I can say first-class guy, very, very nice man. Very, very nice man.
Yeah, most of the wrestlers, and there's quite a few of them that live in Tampa, I would say, you know, they have pretty good reputations in the Bay Area.
Now, you know, speaking of wrestlers, how about the other show that – what is this? This is on what show?
It's on A&E.
That's what I thought. What is the one – and you turned me on to the show last week, and I caught an episode and a half this past week. Is it WWE Treasure –
It's called WWE Treasures. Yeah. So it's going to, I'm sorry. Most Wanted Treasures. Thank you, sweet Melissa. So, WWE Most Wanted Treasures, and it's going to be, it usually falls in right after biography, you know, the wrestling segment for me, I just roll into that, which works because Walking Dead's off right now. So I need something on Sunday night until football's back and, you know, all that. And, you know,
until you have entertainment on Sunday evenings, because Sunday evenings can be pretty desolate when it comes.
Well, my favorite one's been the Mick Foley one. And since then I've been running around like Cactus Jack going bang, bang to everybody. I forgot how fun of a wrestling character Cactus Jack was, or Dude Love.
And you know what? I think Mick Foley did a great job because his characters, their outfits were about the same every character he was. I mean, it was just a different personality.
Just tattered clothing. Like Mick Foley looked like a guy they found in the woods that lived in a hobo campsite.
Yes.
He had the same wardrobe as Eddie Vedder. They must shop at the Goodwill store.
They probably do. They go to the flannel section, straight to the flannel section.
You know, just for that, Big Ed, I think Foreigner is as good as any Led Zeppelin album, any Foreigner album.
Mm. Yeah, well, Mick Foley was the inspiration for Jeremy.
Jeremy.
When he bit the recess lady's breast, oh boy, how could I forget?
Oh, wait, I got to snap my fingers while you're doing spoken word, Eddie Vedder.
Oh. Kind of like in a coffee house.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Like except there's no coffee.
No. And there's no house.
There's no house.
And no beatniks.
No beatniks. Whatever happened to beatniks?
I don't know. They
disappeared.
They disappeared.
They disappeared after Poco's first album.
Well, the beatniks disappeared long before Poco.
Yeah, they were the true spoken word pussies of their time.
They're beatniks, I guess. 50s.
You know what?
There are a lot of writers that were beatniks, though. You had William S. Burroughs and Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, Jack. That was the one I was trying to think about. Is Kerouac, because what was his book? He wrote a book.
On the Road.
On the Road, right? Yeah. See,
when he wrote that manuscript, is one solid piece. He just kept taping together. It's like a scroll. Yeah, the publishing company probably hated him. He basically just got a bunch of cigarettes, locked himself up in a room, got speed and booze, and just kept writing till he was done. Yeah, it's kind of like an autobiography, really.
That's one way to write a book.
It writes itself.
Yeah.
So,
well, you read the book, you realize why the guy's not long for the earth. You know, he definitely lived a very interesting and hard lifestyle.
Well, there you go. So I have to put that on my reading list then.
And he died in Winter Park.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Wait, does he have a museum named after him?
Perhaps. Oh, you know what I just found out? Who's from went to Winter Park High School? Did I text you guys this?
Who?
Oh, Zambrick.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah.
He went to Winter Park High School.
Wait, you know his name?
Yeah, I know his name. Listen, the guy on the Ozempic?
Yeah, there are plaques all over the place that says Billy Gardell ate here, and he ate here, and here, and here.
And here, and here.
And then it says, he shit here, and then was no longer allowed back. He shit here and it was no longer allowed back.
He ruined the bathrooms.
Now they have like a toilet with like a larger hole.
courtesy of his ass.
It's got two handles.
No, because of the
it's
shit.
It's kind
of
like what a double pumper on a four barrel is, except it's a double flusher. It's two tanks.
That's heavy duty shit right there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Billy Gardell cannot lose any more weight, or he's going to lose that endorsement.
Well, he is eating shish kebabs on the first.
Well, he makes that shish kebab because that's the food his food eats. He's feeding his food, then he eats that food. He's like, "Ah, that's for the cow that's grazing out there."
Yeah.
This is, come here, Mr. Cow. Let me pet you. And then he lops the head off.
Well, like, all right, I sent you this thing on Yahoo, right, you guys, before the show. I sent you that picture. And, you know, Yahoo brought their comments back, which makes Yahoo fun again to read, like, news stories, because I just want to take everyone's temperature. And, you know, here you got a girl. First off, she's like, no one should talk about me and my body. I'm like, well, you put yourself out there like you're a plus-sized model. People are going to talk about you. You're a model. They see you.
Right. That, but, you're putting yourself in the
She's a plus size model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, and then she's talking about I have anorexia. I'm like, I don't think you know what that means. That goes back to, she might as well just said, I slept like a baby.
She's not like Liv Tyler's sister, you know, who's a plus model, but she's pretty and curvy. This girl was like, you know, a globe, which is round.
Well, and the other thing, if she was anorexic, she must be doing something wrong. Is that wrong to say that? Because she's still fat.
Yeah, I don't think she understands
what it
is.
Maybe she just got it. She's got to be bulimic, because they oftentimes are still...
And she's doing that wrong.
Yeah.
So she's mad because she's a public figure. She's put herself out there, and people are making comments. Well, that's kind of like the landscape of the whole thing when you're a public figure.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing, though, I noticed scrolling through Yahoo Entertainment, because Sesame Street 50th anniversary, they were talking about, you know, they had an article about Roosevelt Franklin, the show's first black Muppet, which, you know, I'm a little irked because Big Ed broke that story.
Big Ed did break that story like 10 shows ago.
Yeah.
It's getting the light of day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Big Ed's the one that said hashtag never forget Roosevelt Franklin.
And then
sent you guys a little video of him in action. I remember him as a kid. And I think in 1975 was the last time he appeared on the show.
That's
5 years. He had a short career.
Which is a shame, because he's kind of a pretty entertaining character.
Yeah.
The video, everybody out in, and maybe we can post this video on our Twitter feed, which is Casey.
Hold on. It's at Beer Seats.
There you go. Beer Seats.
However, you could go to our website, warmbeerandthecheapseats.com, and interact us there. You can find links to email, to Twitter, you know, and all that happy jazz.
Hey, one thing, talking about the show that you mentioned yesterday, do we now have our blog up on the
website? First blog has been posted.
All right.
So it's at the bottom of the page.
You got to go to the website, fans. Check it out.
Yeah, nothing magnanimous, but it's just basically your, you know, hey, it's our first blog.
Wait, can we do a blog about magnanimous?
Well, if you say it right.
Well, you got to have that first blog.
Yes. No, the first blog sets the tone.
We're going for the first blog tone, which I think is a good tone. It's a mellow tone.
Yes. It's all about the tone in your first blog.
I want to say blog.
There you go. You said it, sweet Melissa.
Super fun.
Super.
Super. So, Yeah, Roosevelt Franklin. And then I read an article, a New York Post article about good old Roosevelt Franklin being the first black Muppet or black Sesame Street character that was not human, which was the first Muppet that was black. And they said
huge Muppet hog.
What?
He had a huge Muppet hog.
A Muppet hog.
Yeah, you know.
So they said, don't count on him coming back because he's too kitschy. He's too 70s. I say that's even the more reason to bring him back, in my opinion.
That, you know what? They've actually used him in movies. He just doesn't have any. He has not had any speaking lines. But like, he was in that last Muppets movie they had with the guy from So I Met Your Mother, Peter Siegel.
Right.
Where it's a weird, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a fun movie, but his brother's a Muppet. They don't kind of explain how that happened.
I know the movie. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
Yeah.
He knew he was supposed to be here. Roosevelt Franklin.
Oh, there it is.
Roosevelt Franklin. Once more, somebody called me not.
There you have it, Roosevelt Franklin.
He's about to sing the Roosevelt Franklin song. He's going to say, I'm the Roosevelt.
Oh, here and there. Franklin. He's going to teach you about here and there. That's here and that's there.
And then in this New York Post article,
this might be the ABC song. I'll play it quietly.
Not only by my first, but also by my last name.
Now, Roosevelt, you knew you were supposed to be here to say your alphabet.
And you know what they make him black is that they put black curls on him, but he's still purple or blue. They're all the Muppets are the same color, which is great.
Yeah, he doesn't look black, though.
He just looks like a Muppet with black hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's in the background a couple times in that last Muppet movie. So he still exists. You know, when they talk about the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, well, in the Muppet Cinematic Universe, the lesser known MCU, he still exists. He's still part of their original canon.
So he's kind of like an Easter egg in this movie. Or find the Roosevelt Franklin in the movie.
Yeah, actually, they're kind of fun doing that stuff. Getting some Muppets hidden around that you got to kind of look for that you hadn't seen from like the 70s or 80s or something like that.
Which is cool, some vintage Muppets.
Yeah, like that big brown monster thing.
Yeah.
No, not that. He was in the Muppet Show.
Yes, he was on the Muppet Show, and he was in the Great Muppet Caper, too, wasn't he? Yeah, he appeared in the first two, and I think in Muppets Take Manhattan, too. I think. So, as I remember it. So now here's another thing. Reading.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. I didn't want to talk over anybody because we're a remote gang. This is the most technologically advanced warm beer in the cheap seats that has ever occurred. Ever. So the Roosevelt Franklin record actually was reissued because it sold so well.
No.
Yeah, I think the record first came out in 70 or 71, and it sold well enough that it was reissued in 74. So, hey, there are a lot of Roosevelt Franklin fans out there. So bring them back, Muppets. Disney, that's who controls the Muppets now. Disney, bring them back. Disney controls everything.
Disney really controls? It's not under PBS?
No. Disney owns the rights to the Muppets, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they're gonna ruin it. They're going to ruin everything. They ruined ESPN. Good grief. They don't have anyone there that can talk sports. I guess Scott Van Pelt, he's like the last. Oh, Linda Cohn. Yeah, you're right. She does know hockey.
Inside joke. Lothian.
Yeah. That's to our Spanish listeners.
Oh. Do we have any Spanish do we have any listeners from Spain or any other Spanish speaking country yet, Casey?
Not yet, but we'll get there.
Well, what's the what is sweet? I didn't catch what sweet Melissa said.
Hey, Jesus. She named the guppy.
Jesus guppy.
Yeah.
What's the latest on our listenership out there? Have we picked up any other international listeners?
Well, here's the thing. Like we haven't anyone like that like subscribed per se to like an actual follower. But we had a lot of download activity, but nothing outside the norm. There's a couple more in Canada, but all, different parts of the U.S. And then we were on the East Coast. We had a really big pop. So I don't know. We either got a stalker or something. So maybe, you know, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it there, Big Mike.
I'll just keep Big Miking my way around the world then. So there's our listener update, listeners. So subscribe, go to the website.
Yeah, share.
Tweet us.
Oh, to update our few listeners, as I do my jukebox terrorism on Waffle House, they've been getting Staying Alive Bee Gees all week.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay in that disco groove for a while.
You guys say disco era. I think that's a good place to be. Disco era works.
You know, it's annoying and upbeat at the same time. You know, so I don't know if I do a little Donna Summer or whoever that girl did. Ring my bell. You know, that one?
That's a good one. Or Car Wash by Rose Royce.
Oh, yeah. Working car wash. At the car wash.
Yeah. Oh, car wash is great.
And work.
I'm trying to think. What was it? I should have listened to that before the show. The girl who said, ring my bell. I'm trying to think of her name.
That was her only hit.
Yeah, she exactly was right. That was it. That was
Anita Ward.
Anita Ward.
There you go.
That's almost a joke you almost set up, like, you know, I need a something, you know. I need a cock.
Sweet Melissa said I need a bell.
Yeah. It's not as funny.
Good try, though.
Cocksucker said what?
I was being G-rated.
Yeah. We're G-whiz rated.
Yeah.
Like not even on the rating scale.
Not even. So what else do we have on our agenda tonight, Casey?
I guess so you guys haven't watched Let's Be Real, Robert Smigel's new show, because we kind of breezed over it. I didn't really discuss
that's
it.
That's kind of like the new Muppets. No, I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, but it's puppet and live action, and it's an interesting format because it's a series of small sketches. It's like four little mini stories, and he keeps, like, every 3 minutes he goes to the next story, but he keeps coming back to the first story. Like the week prior, I never laughed so hard. It was all about Governor Cuomo, and he's like, we're almost out of the pandemic, but I got to remind you, if you're female, you need to stay 6 feet away from me, especially in the elevator. Do not be in a office door that's closed with me. And then, you know, they're leaving. They come back, and you keep giving these scenarios of where a woman couldn't be around him. It was great. It was great. I mean, he lampoons everyone. I mean, he went after Mitch McConnell, you know, obviously Trump, Biden, you know, a lot of political stuff. But it reminded me, like, the political stuff of the 80s, 90s SNL that was just so good that – it was just like, we're just going to call out hypocrisy, not just like, you know.
Not just lampoon the people.
Well, yeah, or are we just like, hey, you know, this is my viewpoint and my farts smell delicious, you know, like, you know. No, they don't.
They smell like farts.
Yeah. I highly recommend. Of the new shows that have come out, and, you know, we've talked about them, most have been absolute trash of new shows that have come out. This one is a resounding yes to watch. Sweet Melissa says yes. And Big Mike, good news. The Rock show is coming back for season two.
I enjoy The Rock show.
I tried. I didn't give it a good enough. I watched it twice.
What's your take, Big Ed?
I'd have to – sometimes these shows grow on me, but the girl they go, Cat, that show is unwatchable.
I don't know if that got picked up. I think that's getting canceled. Oh, by the way, she's got a drug she's pushing.
What's she pushing?
I don't know. I tried to take a picture last night, but I'm look.
It's for your brain, because she's a neuroscientist.
Yeah, she says it all weird. Yeah. Yeah, basically she's selling you sawdust. And, you know, probably promoted by Dr. Oz, too.
I work in a neuroscientist. Allegedly.
So what we have, it's modern-day snake oil.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I'm working on a video component of the show, by the way. And I'm just going to share that with you guys because you guys probably have no idea what I'm usually up to.
No, and you're sharing it with us and all of our listeners. Tell us about the video component you're working on.
We'll have video. It's going to be us commenting on video. So once I figure out how to put that all together, and then that's going to be part of our YouTube page.
Fantastic. Look at that. Social media giants.
I'm going to try to do everything that is not Facebook, Instagram, and just do all the others. Because when you're in warm beer in the cheap seats, you go at your own, your own drum beat.
Or fart beat, whatever works for you.
Like heartbeat, but fart beat.
Yeah, correct. Except funnier.
Because beer will give me the farts. And that's a bad thing. That's I think that's a good byproduct. That's just me though. So we're gonna have video component.
Because the first video is gonna be all about Ozempic. You know that, right?
Well, that's fantastic.
I mean, the target's there. Like, we just gotta finish the commentary, or we gotta change the commercial. Like, hey, Big Ed, go ahead.
Can't miss him.
Which is true.
You can't miss him, Billy Gardell. You're talking Ozempic. You can't miss him.
You know, he comes to Side Splitters like twice a year.
Pretty well respected in his circle.
I mean, I'm goofing on him, but the guy works. There's no doubt. The guy works.
Look, if you're on one of Jay Leno's shows, he's on the – I think me and Big Mike were talking about it. Jay Leno's Garage?
Yeah, Jay Leno's Garage.
Yeah.
He was on it, so he's not going to bring any bums on his show.
No, but, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, he's on his second CBS sitcom where he's the lead. You know, so he's bringing
Abishola.
Bob Hart's Abishola.
That's right.
So he's bringing in good money, and for him to go to a small comedy club like Side Splitters is kind of cool. So, you know, as much as I goof on him, I do respect that he does that.
Absolutely, he's honing his craft.
You got to stay sharp.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think stand-up's not like riding a bike. I think that's
it's a muscle.
Yeah, that you got to constantly exercise.
Like your love muscle?
Sure, good. Love muscle.
Yeah, like your love Muppet.
Love Muppet. Love Muppet. You know, that could be a show. There was Love Boat, Love Muppet.
Uh-oh.
The Love Muppet.
That is certainly rated G-Wiz.
That would be rated G-Wiz.
And definitely would have Roosevelt Franklin on it.
But he would be the bartender.
Oh, no, no,
that's
no,
a
no.
good one, Mike.
Yep. That's racist.
Was that racist?
Our audience.
But they got that was what was the guy's name on the show?
Why can't you have him be like he could be now Captain Steuben?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can, and then he can have the slut daughter. Man, she slept with everyone anyways. That daughter was just getting around.
She's okay.
Well, Captain Steuben just didn't know.
Maybe he knew and he just didn't want it. He just let it slide because he just disappointed
him. Like, she's just so much like her mother.
Getting around. The Love Boat. I wonder if there were a lot of STDs on the Love Boat.
We didn't get around a real life.
That's actually the third verse that they never play in that song is about the STDs.
and here we all thought it was a family show.
There's a Jack Jones album where that's like a secret track where you know where he sings the third verse.
It's the hidden track.
Correct. Remember Hidden Tracks? That was fun.
That I have a Birds album that a digital Birds album. It's Sweetheart of the Rodeo, which I have the vinyl version. Which maybe I'm going to throw that one in the ring in a few as a record to be reviewed. But anyway,
that would work out because that was kind of a big record in its day, and Poco to come out with this was actually a big deal.
Yeah, because Sweetheart was 68. I have the album. I love that's another album I love. So Big Ed, maybe we put that on the agenda.
Yes.
So on the digital version that I have on my pocket computer, aka smartphone, there's a hidden track on that Birds album, and it's the radio advertisement for the album. It's kind of weird. It's like, why is it? When I finally discovered it, listening, and it was on the CD as well. I have it on CD, and I believe it's on the CD as well. But anyways, you're like, why is this track still going? Why isn't it flipping to the next track? And then here comes the hidden track. Kind of cool.
Well, I think what Big Mike is saying, it's time for Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
Thanks, guys. This one was a big challenge for me. Something I've never listened to. You know, usually I review what I like, and I think what I like is awesome. So there. But where did I put it? I just had to do the song again. Here we go. So Poco, the album's called Pick It Up to Pieces, is their debut album. It was recorded in January of 69, released in May of 69. The genre was country rock, which is kind of new. They're credited with being like the original country rock, but it really looked back at rockabilly in the 50s, I think, you know. Maybe not so much, but this genre, definitely what they were doing. They took what, you know, from the Birds, the Beatles, the Buffalo Springfield, that whole, even some, you listen, you can even hear some like Grateful Dead. So everyone in that era that was doing like folk rock, country rock, had a similar mindset. 14 tracks, 42 minutes long, produced by Jim Messina, who is one of the lead members in the band. And then the recording engineer was Terry Donovan. So this out, there were several lineups in Poco. In the beginning, you had Jim Messina, It was on acoustic, electric six-string guitars, back and lead vocals. He came from Buffalo Springfield. Later became a writing partner and successful recording duo of Loggins and Messina. And Rich Furay played a 12-string guitar, backing vocals also from from Buffalo Springfield. Rusty Young, this guy is amazing. I was listening to this. He plays steel guitar, banjo, dobro, guitar, and piano. He was the road manager for Buffalo Springfield. Then you have Randy Meisner. This guy is something else. He played bass and backing vocals. Heck, it's very vague on what happened in the recording studio, but he got shut out of the studio. He left the band. They kept his bass work and stuff, but they took out his lyrics. He did like all the leads on vocals.
Wow.
Yep.
Shortly before the record was released, this happened. His exit was the result of his anger, being frustrated in the mix. He was replaced by Timothy B. Schmidt. And you guys know who he is? He's the bass player for the Eagles.
Yeah.
So Poco, Meisner goes and one of the founding members with Don Felder of the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then he again is replaced by Timothy B. Schmidt in like 76 or 77.
No.
Yeah. This is a tight circle that this whole, with Buffalo Springfield and the one Mike was taught, the Birds.
Birds, yep.
Then he had George Grantham on drums backing, and he did the lead vocals. He took over the lead vocals. Bobby Doyle on piano and Milt Holland on percussion. I don't see too much mention of him, but they list him here. This guy's played with everybody from Sinatra to Etta James to James Taylor. I mean, his resume is longer than John Holmes' dick.
That's long.
Yeah, it's a big resume. Yeah, trying to catch my notes. So the group forms in Los Angeles in the 60s with the Furay, Messina, the Buffalo Springfield guys. Poco, there's some signature pieces here. Exuberant. I guess it was a fast-paced songs that become Poco's signature sound. They're well-crafted songs, insightful guitar playing. I tell you, the first time I listened to this, I'm like, seriously? I hated it.
Really?
Really?
I didn't hate it. I'm like, oh, God, I got to review. I just kept thinking, and I'm driving Friday after Daytona listening to it. Then I listened to it on the way back. And all week long, getting ready for work in the morning, and just it grew on me. And then I'm listening, I'm like, wow, this is really well crafted music. The musicians were tight. I think my biggest criticism, I do have some criticism, I think the vocals could be stronger. They don't have the rasp like say a Crosby, David Crosby had, or
no? Well, would you think they were still in that era of the Beach Boys were so large in the scene, especially when you do vocal harmonies.
And this album has a lot of vocal harmonies in it.
No, I'm not knocking it. I just think the lyrics, the lead vocal doesn't have enough. Did you guys listen to this?
I've listened to this album like 100 times.
They'll start to be like, come on, Russ. I'm like, you sound like a little kid when you do shit like that, right? That's what I mean. He's like,
No, I agree. I didn't listen as much as you, Big Ed. But I probably listened to it a half dozen times this week.
You tried to listen to it.
No, I did.
Okay. No. You know what? I wound up liking this thing come like Thursday. What's today? Wednesday. Coming home from work and going, this is actually really tight. It's well written. The great fills on percussion and drums. The steel guitar is amazing.
Yes.
That's my favorite part of the album is Rusty on the steel guitar.
Yes. is always like, play it, Russ. I'm like, come on, sound like a man when you say, like, come on, hit it, Russ. You know?
Wait, is that like a play on word?
Oh, you do.
Rusty and steel guitar?
There you go. It is now a play on words.
So okay. The first time I listened to it, I was not impressed. I listened, I'm not kidding, at least 12 to 15 times and found out that I was wrong. This is stacked with a remarkably strong and sweet collection of psychedelic country rock slash pop songs. There's some great harmonies in this little gem. I heard a lot of CSNY, Beatles, Birds type harmonies, even a little bit of the Monkees pop sound on some of these tracks. Even like some Grateful Dead structured guitar chords. And I started liking it and the intricacies of what they did, you know.
There's like a big fusion of music in this album.
Yeah, so the writing style, found out later, was some members were from Buffalo Springfield, founding members of the Eagles. One knock on picking up the pieces is his general lightness. There are several occasions where Fury tries to reach for something deeper, a grunt or growl, but sometimes it's just not air. It's not that. There's no edge in his voice. That's what I was trying to say.
No, and you're right. I would agree with that.
That would be my only...
No, that's a fair critique.
The band never quite got the launch nor the backing from Glenn Johns and David Geffen from the record company that they gave to the Eagles. So, and there, thus, the Poco was relegated to the value record bins and the Eagles took off for stardom. Too bad that the world never knew that there was another four-part harmony country rock group from California. And that's all I have about that. That's that.
Well, let me ask you this, Big Ed. Since this is my album, what was your favorite track off the album?
You know, it's easy listening, soft rock. I'm gonna go out on a limb and give it a 3.
All right.
Really?
I'm telling you,
our sensibilities are so different.
There, but there's some Calico Jack, Calico Cat. I really liked
Calico Lady.
Yeah, Calico Lady.
That was more of the rocker on the album.
He's thinking about Ling Ling.
Yeah. What a Calico Lady. Short Change, Picking Up the Pieces. Tomorrow. Those songs I really enjoyed. Look, there's a lot of music in a short amount of time. That's what's nice. It's 60s writing. The songs are 3 minutes long. I think the longest song is 3 minutes, 4 minutes and 6 seconds. That's the longest song.
Yeah, that was is 4 minutes, 6 seconds.
Yeah, I think that song was about the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Randy Macho Man was the inspiration.
Yeah, that one.
Casey, what's your take on this album?
All right, well, first, my first question, all right. Big Ed, good review. You know, you kind of went outside your comfort zone on this one. So
way far. I almost hit the guardrail.
Wait. If you could see me, my hat is off. I'm tipping my cap to you. Great job. I loved your review and your insight.
You.
And that's why we have you do this every week.
You gotta listen to it. You gotta give it a chance.
But and then that's why I'm gonna also I want people to know about the songs ahead of time so they to do their homework so they can sit with Professor Big Ed and get schooled properly. But Big Mike, what's important about this album to you?
Yeah.
What's it?
Don't tell us about masturbation, nothing like that. Just try make something up if you have to.
Yeah, keep it. Yeah,
I'll take this very seriously because,
fellas,
this is like my genre of music. This is my wheelhouse. This is where I'm happy. This is my happy wheelhouse for music. I seriously love Rusty Young's steel guitar work throughout this album, and it's the fusion of country music and that kind of that rock and roll edge. And it just makes me happy. This music makes me happy. It combines two things I like. I like rock and roll. I like country music, and you get it all in one album here. And each track, there's some tracks that are like that are more rock and roll than country, like Calico Lady, definitely a rocker. You got
that's the one that kind of gave me that Mumford feel in the beginning.
What's that?
That's the one that gave me like the Monkees type of pop sound.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Big Ed. And the Monkees, like with Michael Nesmith and the Monkees, he brought a lot of country influence to the Monkees. But yeah, the Calico Lady definitely
had... California, it was a California band, so it was Mike Nesmith.
Yeah, Mike. Now, here's another cool country rock band. We'll get back to Poco here in a minute. Mike Nesmith's first national band. There's another country rock band that when Mike Nesmith left the Monkees, he did four albums with the first national band. The first three being the best of them. I think the first one being the most badass. So maybe I throw that album out there down the road a little bit. But yeah, this is all what they would call California country music.
Well, send me a list.
Okay, I can do that. I'll text you a list of a bunch of country rock albums.
Yeah.
And but this is like California country music.
But you know what's funny? I was listening the first time I listened to it. There was a part where Rusty's doing steel guitar or banjo, and I thought for a second there was a Dukes of Hazzard car chase scene like going through Hazzard County in the 80s. I swear.
Was that like in Grand Junction? The instrumental track on the album.
One of my favorite songs, and I'm not a big acoustic guy. No, I love that song. In a perfect world, when we can do music licensing and do all that, that's the close. When we go off, that just plays us off. You know, it's just a fun little thing, and it leaves you in a upbeat mood. And there's a lot of good changes. You know, like my take, I love the album from the second I listened to it. I love the kind of cold opening, like this weird little prelude.
Yeah.
I heard like little strokes of like Neil Diamond and John Denver and Grateful Dead, you know. Kind of all blended together.
It's definitely a California sound of its era.
I'll tell you my three favorite songs on there. Grand Junction, love that song. First Love.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's such a great, sweet little slow track. And what I appreciate about this album is because it's an album. There is actually an ebb and a flow to it when that was actually a thing. And to me, that's important. I want to emotionally go through an album and go up and down and stop and reflect and whatever. And I mean, I would not arrange the tracks in any other way than the way it's set up. I mean, it's a beautifully produced album. And I think that's a lost art, unfortunately, in this day and age. And then my favorite song is the rocker Short Change. I love it. It's sharp. It's crisp. There's something to it. I like it. That song has a lot of edge to it.
You know that Greg Allman and Timothy B. Schmidt both auditioned for this band?
Really?
No way. Wow.
Yeah. And then Timothy B. Schmidt replaced Messina. No, not Messina. I'm trying to do too many things here. He replaced Randy Meisner.
In the Eagles.
Mm.
In Poco.
Right.
So Timothy B. Schmidt made money in Poco after Meisner left, and then Meisner gets kicked out of the Eagles, and Timothy B. Schmidt becomes like a super.
Man, he must not have liked that guy at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I call him Timothy your shit, you know, when he's old drinking. Yeah. That's not B. Schmidt. It's Timothy your shit, like Jeff the Drunk.
Yeah, or Timothy B. Schmidt.
So, my favorite songs on the album, I leaned more the country end of the album. So, what I First Love is a good one. Make me smile. I like that.
Make
one.
Me smile.
That's a pretty good one.
And it's perfectly placed in the album.
Yes. Now, my favorite song on the album is the title track, Picking Up the Pieces. And then Grand Junction is awesome because instrumentals are lost. You don't buy albums with instrumental anymore. And I think instrumentals, they're great. I think it breaks the album up a little bit and kind of it gets you ready for the next set of tracks. Shortchanged.
Well, I think that instrumental too shows like how tight. I mean, there's a lot of changes that are going on in the song, and every change is crisp. And I swear to God, it's the drummer that drives everything. He drives that whole backbeat, and everyone follows it.
Yep, George Grantham and Rusty Young are the only two that were on every one of their albums.
So they only did what? How many albums did they end up doing?
They ended up doing quite a few. One last song I really love, Consequently So Long. I like that one as well.
Big Ed, you're going to want to kill that soon.
And I can't. It's stuck.
It's okay. Stuck,
Hey, that's what she said.
And I was so happy when she said it. Yeah, so you know what the album cover looks like?
Yeah.
The dog on the album cover.
Oh yeah, the dog. Yeah, it's like a weird portrait. It's like a family portrait gone bad.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because Randy Meisner was in that position.
So they put the dog over him.
Yes.
That's a big FU, Casey. Huh?
When you're in Studio C next week, I will pull this album out for you.
No. I know the album cover. And Sweet Melissa's being very techie right now and pulled it up for me. But so they drew in a dog over a person.
Yes. Correct. Man's best friend.
Wow. Or man's worst enemy. Wow. He's like, if I see that dog, I'm going to hit it with my car.
It says his image was removed from the painting on the cover and replaced with the dog scene at the far left. His bass parts and backing vocals were left in the mix, but his lead vocals were removed and new versions were sung by George Grantham, who was the drummer.
Casey,
the guy that's standing with the like the little frill, you know, with the you know, probably can yell Cherokee Nation or something like that. Does he not look like Roger Waters in that picture?
That's Puree.
Yeah, but doesn't he look like Roger Waters? You're like, oh, I didn't know Roger Waters in this band.
I would wear that. If I had that shirt, I'd wear it.
Of course you would.
Of course you would. Well, hey, you gotta rock the turquoise, too.
Damn, Calico Ladies in your Cadillac going down the street.
Case, I did wear turquoise on the airplane on the way here. I get dressed up to fly. I put my turquoise on.
You know, I hate flying. I absolutely hate it. It's such a chore, and everyone's such an a-hole. I'll drive everywhere.
Yeah, I don't miss the traveling anymore. I miss the money, but not the traveling.
Yeah. Well, everyone misses money.
What's not to miss about money?
Nope. Miss it every month when all those bills come due.
That's when I really miss my money.
Sometimes it just goes right by you.
It goes right by you.
You see it, and then it goes right into you. Some asshole.
The money goes right by, just like most of the jokes go right by me.
Melissa's the only one that got that. She laughed.
She laughed.
I was going to say, I can appreciate that.
Thanks, sweet Melissa. So, well, I am very happy that you guys enjoyed the album I picked out. That makes me feel really good. I appreciate it.
Would you think I was gonna? Do you think I was gonna panic?
No, I didn't think you were gonna panic. I figured you were gonna ace it as always. But I know I've thrown something at you you've never listened to, and I'm just excited that you actually enjoyed the album.
This is the other question I had. Big Mike.
Yeah.
How did you find this band?
XM Radio, Casey.
No, seriously. I mean, it's not like it was playing on Q105, you know?
XM on Outlaw Country. They play a lot of this country rock, and this is how I discovered this genre of music. And I'm like, whoa, man, I like the way that sounds. And
I don't know if this is outlaw. I wouldn't call this outlaw country or something.
No, it's not. It's, you know, on XM Radio, Outlaw Country is one of their channels, and they'll
play all things on the fringe.
Yeah, everything. It's country, exactly like country music on the fringe. It's like there's no rules. They just, if it's done by a country band and it doesn't sound like country music, they'll play it. If it's performed by, country music performed by a band that's not a country band, they play it. And then everything in between.
All right, Big Ed. So, Outlaw Country is to what FM was to when you were a kid. And if you're in a country music, you would love that station because it's actually run by the DJs and they have multiple ones. So you don't know what you're going to get, you know, from, you know, time to time that they sit in there. Cause,
that's what
they got quite a few different DJs in there. Yeah. It's kind of like Deep Tracks. Like when Earl Bailey's in there, you know, you're really doing your homework, but man, that guy really schools you and you know, You get a learning on.
And some of the DJs on Outlaw Country are actually artists. You got Elizabeth Cook, who's a country artist, but she's not a mainstream country artist. She has a show called Apron Strings, and she's a hoot to listen to. She's funny as hell. And she just plays whatever she thinks is cool. She'll play a lot of progressive country, as they call it, or alternative country that's around now. And that's how I pick up on it.
That was like Hank Williams III does.
Exactly. And that's how I pick up on a lot of this music.
I like the album, too.
Yes, Sweet Melissa liked it.
I'm glad you like it, Sweet Melissa.
I'll sleep better knowing that.
I know.
Well, Petey will feel better.
Petey will.
And so will Jesus Cuppy.
Old Petey. The Petey cam. That's what we need to have is a Petey cam. On the
we're not up to that budget. We need people start pledging money to run that.
So fans, if you like what you heard tonight and you like Petey, pledge us, you know, toss a couple shekels our way.
Yeah. Yeah, Venmo us some money.
Venmo us some shekels.
Yeah, Venmo the shekels.
And you can follow us. You can interact us with our website, warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. You can follow us on Twitter at something.
Beer Seats.
At Beer Seats, correct. Thank you. You can email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. Don't forget the .com. That will trip you up every time you send an email. So make sure you do that.
Make
you
sure.
You got anything to plug or push?
No, that's about it. I'm excited as able to do the show tonight, remote style from the Bluff City studio.
Yeah, I hope the... I think people will be happy with the content. So we're happy to have you there, Big Mike.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be with you, Casey, Big Ed, and Sweet Melissa on a fun-filled Friday night.
You tell old Wiener I said hello.
I will tell Wiener that you said hello.
Why don't you tell him about Big Ed's playlist?
Hey, oh, that's right. Hey, there is a Big Ed's playlist, Casey.
Oh, am I supposed to post that, or do are you doing that on Big Ed's Twitter feed?
No, for you guys. I don't need the accolades.
No, okay. Then with Big Ed saying that we're listening to music that's cool and you don't get to listen to. Is that it?
We can post it.
Or did I miss the point?
No, just post. I sent it to you guys. Just post it.
Oh, okay.
It's every album I reviewed. I took two or three songs from each album.
Okay. Is that something I'm supposed to share?
Yes.
Okay. Share. All right. I just want to make sure. All right. Excellent. Consider it shared. And folks, stay tuned for next week. There will be there'll be homework for you. So, you know, stay on our Twitter and you'll see what music you'll get learned on.
Courtesy of Big Ed.
So, you know, with that said, I think it's going to be close to that time, I think. This is going to be one of the longer shows.
Oh, there it is. I think this is where we go.
Time to go. Any final words there, Big Ed?
I have nothing.
That's a solid close. That's
there you go.
That entertainment. All right, we just got probably kicked off Spotify that week.
Yep.
Big Mike?
Just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, who's downloading, who's subscribing. Keep doing it. Interact with us. Tell us what you want to hear. If there's something you want us to talk about, an album you want us to review, share it. We want your input. We're glad you're listening. And have an awesome weekend.
Yeah, and remember, we're everything Muppet related. We're your go-to source. And Big Mike, be safe there in the foothills or the not foothills of Tennessee. And we'll catch you next week, same time.
All right. See you next week, gang. All right.